welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
A golf shirt. I'm like, oh, great. So he said, don't worry, there's golf shirts in the pro shop. I said, great. So I go in thinking, okay, I'll pay $20 and get myself a golf shirt. Well, I look at the shirts, and the cheapest one I can find is $89. $89! So I gulped as a poor college student and got the most expensive polo shirt I've ever had in my life. And, it was the most expensive game of free golf I'd ever played. And the worst part was, it didn't help me play any better. I still stunk up the golf course. But have you ever had a situation that you walked into where you realized that you couldn't just come as you are? Where you realized that your best just wasn't quite good enough? You ever been there before? That's what I want us to talk about this morning. What this notion of being able to come as we are. And as we do, I saw this video clip the other day that I thought was kind of humorous. It depicted what a marriage proposal looks like in this modern generation. It's called the Millennial Marriage Proposal, and it gives us a little glimpse into this whole realm of being able to come as we are. Go ahead and take a look.
I know, it's so insane.
There's nothing better than this, right?
This is the greatest.
Unbelievable, look at this.
I can't believe it.
Madison Marie, will you marry me?
Babe. You hired a photographer, right?
Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
I am so sorry. Do you mind actually coming a little bit closer? I don't know if it's going to share that well, if it's like so far back.
Madison Marie, will you marry me?
This is still from the back. Do you mind if we just switch spots so that the camera's...
Madison Marie, will you marry me?
Oh, my hair's up and I didn't realize. Do you mind if you scoot back so we get the skyline in the background?
Madison Marie.
Cut. Sorry, I don't like my middle name. Can I take a look at that? I just want to see if it's... I wanted this to be a surprise, but at least you could have given me a hint. I don't look good in any of these. Okay. I'm sweating right now, and this can't be good for my complexion.
What are you talking about?
The lighting is, like, really harsh. I probably look like a Picasso painting.
It's...
Cloud-wise, what are you thinking? More? Yeah.
See, when you turn around, is
right.
It already going to be open?
Yes.
Madison Marie.
I'm already wearing it.
Oh, wait, all right, take it.
Okay.
Give me the ring back, and then we'll start from the top.
Okay. I read a blog. The perfect time for engagements is, like, 5 to 5:30.
I'm trying to do something fun for you, and you ruin it.
Ruin
every.
Oh my gosh!
Okay,
I don't know if I can even do this anymore.
All right, here we go. Well, you're gonna be turned around.
Right.
So I'll just
start
on my knee.
Thank you. You got a double chin in this one. Switching things up. We're gonna have camera guy here, sound guy right here. John, continuity's sake, right knee. I'm gonna go left hand. It's gonna be bigger, right? Can you Photoshop that? As soon as he opens the box, we're gonna have a sweeping zoom motion, and then coming all the way up, revealing the beautiful skyline. I'm going to say yes, and it's gonna be great. All right, from top. So then I'm going to either go here or here. What do you
think?
Okay,
how about...
Or we could go this way.
I feel like no one sees me, though, because my face is pointed out.
No one needs to see your face. Say it a little bit more like you believe in it.
Like, do it. How would I say it?
Marrying you would be hashtag relationship goal.
Who says that?
You will! Rolling! I just want it to be like how they do it in the movies. I don't know. I'm just not feeling the production value in this.
Production? What do you want from this?
I don't know. First thing that comes to my mind, La La Land.
They didn't even get married.
Spoiler alert.
Cut. Madison's engagement. Take 43.
Great, hurry. First positions. Put that somewhere.
First positions? What?
Babe, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at all these likes.
We live in that kind of a world, don't we? We live in a world that is constantly sending this message that we have to put on this certain image, right? On social media, we have to look a certain way. When we go to school, we have to dress a certain way. At our jobs, we have to put on this certain persona. Even with our family sometimes, we feel like we've got to be a certain way, that we can't just come as we are. And
What I love about Easter, the message of Easter, is that love made a way for you and for me to come just as we are. And this morning, I want to take some time to look at the scripture, and I want to ask if you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have the verses up on the screen. You'll be able to follow along as well. But we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to be looking at this concept that love made a way for you and for me to be able to come just as we are. And, you know, love is, it's a powerful thing. Love is a very powerful thing, but what's interesting is hate also is a very powerful thing. I heard of a guy who absolutely hated his wife's cat. So one day he decided to do something about it. He decided to take the cat and put it in the back of the car and get rid of it. So he takes the cat and he drives 20 blocks away and he drops the cat off. He goes back home, and as he's pulling up to the front of the house, he sees the cat walking in the front yard. He's like, what? So the next day he does the same thing, except this time he goes 40 blocks away and he drops the cat off. And he, as he's driving home, he's pulling into the driveway, and there's the cat walking across the driveway. He's just blown away. So the next day, same thing, but this time he goes further. And then next day after that, further. And same thing, the cat keeps showing up and beating him home. So finally, after about 6 days of this, he goes, enough. I'm going to make sure this time that this cat is gone for good. So he takes the cat and drives. I mean, he just keeps going, right turn, left turn, over the bridge, into the mountains, around the lake. You just turn after turn after turn after turn, and finally he drops the cat off. And as he, after a few hours of driving around trying to find his way home, he calls and he says, hey, hun, is the cat there? She said, yes, as a matter of fact, he is. He said, will you put the cat on? I'm lost. I need directions. Again, hate can drive us to do crazy things, right? Hate can drive us to do ridiculous things. And yet the reason that hate exists is because love, it can be a painful experience sometimes. As we live in this world, as we work to love people, if you've ever tried to love before, you've probably had your heart broken. Whether it's in a romantic relationship or in a friendship or even with family, what you learn as you walk through this life is that love is complicated and it takes hard work. And yet when we see the brokenness in our world and we see even the lack of love that exists sometimes, there's something inside of us, something that intuitively tells us that it's not supposed to be that way, right? There's something that tells us there's got to be a better way. And even beyond that, there's this driving question that as we look at the brokenness in our world, there's this question that we come back to that says, why is it? Why is it that we don't feel like we can come just as we are? And as we consider that question, again, we recognize that we live in a world where hurt people, that we are all people who have been hurt along the way, and there are times where we do hurtful things to others. And it affects us, in fact, in such a way that we feel like we've got to protect ourselves or we've got to put on a certain facade so that we don't get hurt anymore. And yet today I want us to be able to look at God's Word, the inspired Word of God that gives us truth, that leads us into understanding how there is this better way. This better way to not be bound by those things and would give us the freedom and the ability to come just as we are and to recognize how his love has made a way for that. And so we turn this morning to 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 11. And John, as he writes this letter, he's writing to people that are struggling with this reality, struggling with the realities of this broken world, struggling with the realities of broken relationships and challenges within. And this is what he says. He says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So John says, you've heard this before. You've heard this from the beginning, he says. That this is a consistent message that we should love one another. He says, this is nothing new. That there's a way that God intended for things to be, and it has to do with loving others, right? Loving one another. But the reason this message has had to be around since the beginning is because it's been necessary. God's had to portray this message of love because we live in this broken world. And so he says, don't be like Cain. Now, just a little background on Cain. Cain and his brother Abel were the sons of the first man and woman created by God, Adam and Eve. And Cain and his brother Abel at one point brought offerings to God. Cain brought an offering that was, in essence, half-hearted. It wasn't his best offering. Abel brought his best offering, and the Bible tells us that God was pleased with Abel's offering, but not with Cain's. And so, therefore, Cain became jealous. He was maybe a little insecure, a little embarrassed, and he hated his brother in the midst of that and murdered him. And so here, John says, Cain, the way that he acted, the way that he lived, he showed that he belonged to what? The evil one. Now, you read that and you go, wow, what does that mean? What does that mean, that he belonged to the evil one? Now, the word that's used there, it's in the Greek language, it's often also used as the word of. It shows someone who is from someone else. So it doesn't necessarily mean that Cain was like a Satan worshiper, but it means instead something of the fact that he was kin, right? That he showed the same traits as the evil one. So here's what this would be like. Any dads in the room, you're out watching your son play baseball, and he hits a line drive into the outfield, and you go, that's my boy. That's my boy. Old Pops, I used to hit hits like that back in the day. Of course, the next day when you're at Target and he's throwing a temper tantrum in the toy aisle because you're not giving him what he wants, you look at your wife and you say, take care of your son. Right? But we see those traits from time to time in our children, right? That we go, oh, I know where they got that from. Some good things and some not so good things. But that shows that they are of us. And so John is saying, don't be like Cain, who showed this nature that reflected that he was more of the evil one. Now the Bible calls Satan the ruler of the kingdom of the air. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that he's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And so ever since Satan rebelled against God, he ushered in this rule, this law into the world that really has been the driving force behind sin, behind all this brokenness that we see in our world today. It was all started when Satan really introduced this law that said, look out for yourself first. Be more self-serving. It was this law of serve yourself first. And so if you live out of this drive to love yourself, which Justin Bieber says you should do that, go ahead and love yourself, he says. But sorry, Justin, the Bible tells us that when you live that way, you're not loving others. When you're putting yourself first, you're not loving others. And you're showing that you are of the evil one. And so that's why Jesus, he says, love God and love others. Love your neighbor. Why? In fact, he tells us to love in such a way that he even says, in fact, love your enemies, right? Pray for those who persecute you. Why? Because he's saying the way of God's love, the way to overcome that nature within us that tends to be more like Cain, that tends to live out of selfishness and out of pride and all those things, that nature, it's natural to us. And so if you're going to overcome that, you've got to love like God loves, which means you even love people that are hard to love. And so, don't be like Cain. And why did John say that? Because he knows it's in our nature to be that way. I remember hearing about a guy who was at the zoo. And he and his wife were there, and they're talking, and they're talking with the zookeeper who happens to be right there, and they're looking at the lions inside the cage, and the wife goes, "Oh, those lions, they look just like my cats at home. They're so beautiful, and it's too bad that they have to be locked up in the cage." And the zookeeper says, "Those lions have murder in their hearts, and those bars are the only thing keeping them from tearing us apart." You see, in the same way that it's within a lion's nature to be that way, it's in our nature to be self-serving. And yet the message of Easter is that love has made a way. Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, made a way for you and I to come as we are to him and to be changed from the inside out. That we no longer have to be ruled by the same nature as Cain. We no longer have to be under that self-serving law that is destructive. Instead, love has made a way that we can have a relationship with God, that we can have forgiveness, and that we can be ushered into eternal relationship with God. John continues here in verse 14, though, and he says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death." So the second thing we learn this morning is that love has made a way also for our relationships to be made right. Love has made a way for us to be able to have loving relationships with our brothers and with our sisters. That love has made a way for that. When I was in college, was a student body president one year, and at our Bible college, there were, you know, hundreds of students from all over that were there to be trained to be pastors, and so every year we would start out the year with this retreat where we would go away for this spiritual retreat to get focused for the year and to build relationships with each other, and so I was in charge of this retreat, and so I put it all together, and you know, I planned the whole thing. And in fact, I even brought in a speaker who's named Mike Larkin. He's the guy down at Ignite in Virginia. But we had this great retreat going on. Well, one of the traditions every year at these retreats is that each class, the freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, would put on these skits. And one of the traditions within that is that the senior class would always interrupt the freshman's skit and force them off the stage. It was just a tradition. Every year they would do this. Well, this one year in particular, there was this group of strong-willed freshmen who, in the middle of their skit, they were all of a sudden seeing these seniors come up on the stage, and they wouldn't back down. And so I remember seeing this guy named Ryan and another guy named Chad, and they're looking at these seniors, and there's this big senior named David and another guy named Drew, and they're these big buff guys. I mean, like literally 6'4". You know, benching 400 in the weight room kind of guys. And they're not backing down either. And I can visibly in my mind right now see this moment where there's this little guy named Ryan, and he's got his fist up like this in the middle of the chapel stage, and this senior named David with his fist like that. And I'm running up there, and there's a picture of me standing like this in between them. And, you know, it made it into the yearbook. There's me like, ah, you know. And I kid you not, I run into people to this day that go, "The only thing I remember from Bible college is you almost got beat up on the fall retreat." And yet, you know, what's interesting is the next day, I remember leading our student body in this chapel of reconciliation. We had communion together. And in fact, I ran into a faculty member just about a year ago that said, "You know, that year, God did something through that reconciliation process that as there was forgiveness, something changed in the culture of our college." And, you know, I think something happens when we, even through the strife, even through the things that we face in relationships, when we choose to be reconciled and made right with others, it does something in our lives because we start to identify with Jesus and what he did for us, that he He made a way for us. In fact, even as he laid down his life, he brought forgiveness even for those who had accused him and wronged him. He brought forgiveness even for them. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He made that way for reconciliation to God. And what's the kicker, though, is this. That here in these verses, what John says is the evidence that of God's work in our lives, the true evidence that we have been, that we are new creations in him, is that we're loving others. That we are loving our brothers and sisters. That we're not letting things stand in the way of our relationships. So here's a little test for you to think about this morning. Think about this. What if I were to ask you to write down a list of every single person you've ever had a relationship with in your life? Friends, family, coworkers, neighbors. And you wrote them all down. And then you were to hand it to me, and now here is the rule. The rule is that I could point to any one person on that list, and that you would have to go and do something loving towards them. Now, as you think about that list, would there be anyone on that list that you would go, oh, I hope he doesn't pick that person. I hope he doesn't. Oh, no, please not that. Because if there's anyone in your life that you find that you go, I don't know if I could do something loving towards them, I would suggest that may be an area that you would want to go before God and say, God, help my heart in this area. Help my heart. Because in that, there could be something, a root of bitterness. Something there that could, it's like poison. It could potentially kill us if we don't address that. And so we're told here, love our brothers, love your fellow man, love the fellow, your sister. Love has made a way for us to rise above the natural broken ways of this world into the God's greater ways of love. But thirdly, love has made a way to live with greater purpose. Listen to what John says here in verse 16. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So John says, there's no greater love. The world doesn't know this kind of love. That someone would lay down their life for others. And so the greatest purpose that you and I could fulfill in this life, the greatest role that we could have is that of a servant. The Bible tells us that the servant is the greatest in the kingdom because servants live to lay down their life for the sake of others. You know, in my office, I have this little case, and in it, there's this little watch, little grandma's watch here, a little silver watch, and it has a little mustard seed attached, and it has the verse inscribed on the back that says, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to move a mountain. And here I have a couple little rings with these little just simple gems inside. And these rings, these little pieces of jewelry, I keep them close because my former church, there was a season where we were in the midst of a building project and we urgently needed another $15,000 within 24 hours. And so in going before the church gave that money. But in that offering, we received these from a little old grandma. This was all she had to give. She sacrificed some of the most precious things to her. And I asked if I could keep them close to me because I'm challenged by this. I'm challenged by seeing such sacrifice that would lay down something so valuable. Because I know for me, sometimes I get a little whiny. Sometimes I get in these moments whether it's as a dad or as a husband or as a pastor, whatever it is, that I start to, God, look at all the things that I'm giving up for you and all the things that I'm doing. And when I take a look at these, I'm reminded of sacrifice. I'm reminded of the sacrifice of others who've sacrificed for me, but I'm even more, I'm reminded of Jesus and his sacrifice of love, that he laid down his life for us. And it begins to remind me of the privilege that I have to live with greater purpose. And it's true for all of us. You don't have to be a pastor to connect to this greater purpose that God has for every single one of our lives. It's a purpose found in living as a servant who lays down our life for others. Love has made a way to do that. But next, love has also made a way for us to have a heart at peace. John continues in verse 18. He says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence." I love that last line. This is how we come to this place where we have hearts that are at rest in his presence. It's this picture of peace, having a heart at peace with God. See, this is the key to being able to come as you are. There's many people that the reason they don't feel like they can come as they are, whether it's to church, whether it's in relationships, whether it's at work, wherever it is, it's because there's not this peace that is the foundation of their life. They still carry this heaviness in their life. And yet, when you follow Jesus, it begins to connect to your relationship with others. That now, you know, that's why the Bible tells us that our relationships with others and our relationships with God, they're all intertwined. That's why at one point Jesus says, if you're coming to worship, if you're coming to worship and pray, and you remember that you have something of a offense, a division with someone else in your life, stop. Don't even go worship yet. Go and take care of that thing. Go make it right with the person. Then come back and worship. Why? Because once you've dealt with that, then there's nothing of a separation as you come before God. Now you can truly get close to God because now your heart isn't still holding on to something in this old nature, the Cain nature that John talks about. Instead, you'll be free as you come before God. The weight of sin and the weight of that broken world will be released as you make things right. And so John, he talks about this, having a heart that when our hearts condemn us, when our hearts are under this condemnation, our hearts are not at peace. And yet when you've submitted your life to Christ, the weight of sin is broken. And now the weight of that condemnation, by the way, if you ever feel condemnation, I think it's important that you know that's not from God. Condemnation is from the brokenness of this world. Guilt and shame, that's from the brokenness of this world. Jesus has made a way for that condemnation to be lifted. And when you begin to walk in the ways of love, here's what you're doing. When you forgive others and when you even allow God to bring forgiveness in your life for past mistakes that you've done, that now what's able to happen is now you're able to begin to really enter into his ways. You have a heart that's open to him. And day after day, you're able to live with this freedom that when God points out something in your life and says, "Hey, that's not okay. Will you give that to me?" That now you're able to be free from that guilt, free from that condemnation. It's what keeps us close to him. I remember a number of years ago, we were walking in downtown Portland. Marcus was around 3 or 4 years old, and our son Logan was just a little guy. And I remember we were walking in this kind of shady part of town, and there were this gang of big guys walking by us. And as we got closer, Marcus, all of a sudden I could tell, I was with him and Stacy and Logan were behind us a little bit, and he just started to get really, really nervous. And it was interesting. All of a sudden, he just got really close to me, and he put his little hand in my hand. And it was like there was just something that he knew, that these guys look like trouble, but as long as my dad's with me, I know I'm going to be okay. The fear is gone, and I can be at peace knowing he's with me. And you see, whatever you might face in this life, the key to walking in that peace is drawing near to God. Not letting anything, not letting the fear and the brokenness of this world keep you away from Him, but it's drawing near to Him. Jesus died on the cross and He rose again from the grave and He conquered sin, the broken natures of this world, and He made a way that we could walk in this life with peace. Well, right before we close here, I want to read one more section of verses in verse 21. John says this. He says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands, and we do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us." See, the final thing that I think is so important for us to see this morning is that love made a way for you to come boldly before God. Love made a way for you and me to come boldly before God. Jesus and His love made a way that we can live before God without shame. In fact, we can pray. We can ask God for anything. And He'll meet us where we are. We don't have to live under this disconnection from God any longer. Instead, that we can come before Him. We don't have to pretend we're someone we're not. We don't have to put on a show, but instead we can come before Him unashamed. All you need to do is believe and put your faith in Jesus. Live a life of love and be made right in relationships. And as you do, this freedom will rise in your life. I'm going to come back up in just a moment and pray. But before we do, I want you to take a listen to this song and to reflect on our own lives. As you think about your own life, I want to give you opportunity today to think about how love has made a way for you to come as you are and to experience this love and this freedom that God has for you.
Come wherever you've been, come broken hearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. Too far. There's joy for the morning. O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
With me, and I want us just to have a moment here before the Lord where we can just respond to Him. We heard a message this morning that it's simple and yet it's profound. That God in His love sent His Son to us. He love made a way that we could come as we are in all of our brokenness, and that He would come and do a new work in our lives. He would make us brand new from the inside out. And if you're here this morning, if there's anyone here this morning that maybe you walk through the doors today feeling heaviness, maybe you could relate to even one of the stories that we have seen this morning. Maybe you're here today and there's something in your heart that says, would God really take me just as I am? Would He really be able to do that kind of work in my life? And I want you to know the answer is yes. But you've got to believe. You've got to put your faith in Him, as we heard this morning. And so I want to just give you a simple opportunity in just a moment to lift your hand. And in that, you're going to be saying, God, I'm saying yes to You. I'm saying yes, I want to put my faith in You. I want to follow You, and I want to welcome You into my life to change me from the inside out, to heal my heart and to forgive me the broken areas of my life. There was a day in my life where I had to make that decision. It was between me and God, but it changed everything in my life. God set me free from things in my heart. Issues with anger and issues with forgiveness and brokenness in my own life. And I want you to know personally, it changed everything for me. And so today, though, if that's you, if you'd say, I want to say yes to that. God, I want to say yes to You. Would you just lift up your hand right now? And in that, you're saying, God, I'm saying yes to You and Your love. Yeah, one, two. Anyone else? Three. Awesome. Go ahead and put your hands down. I want to just give you now, I want to ask all of us to just pray this simple prayer. I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, thank You for Your love. I choose today to follow You. I come just as I am. And I thank You that You accept me and You love me and You forgive me. I choose today follow you and walk in your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just rejoice and give God praise? Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.